Hello, Gospel for Grampian Youth. Welcome to Women of Africa Care Youth Program this beautiful Sunday at 10 a.m. And it is Angelina coming to you today with another inspiration brought to you by the Spirit of the Living God who inspired me to bring to you episode 22, Mind Your Language. Before we talk about Mind Your Language, for our youth, you get to listen to the show every week on Sundays at 10 a.m. And if you can't tune in Sunday, Mondays at 10 a.m. You get to listen to this show repeated on Mondays at 10 p.m. And if you can't listen to this on Mondays at 10 p.m. UK time on Gospel for Grampian radio station, then I encourage you to please subscribe to the Gospel for Grampian Podbean, and you get to then download our weekly Podbean and listen to these 59 minutes of inspiration anytime, anywhere in your convenience. And really, the inspiration is brought to you because we as women of Africa Care love the youth. If you're between 15 and 35, then this program is just for you. We love you and we want you to be the best version that God has created you to be. And so we come to you with inspiration to help you and to inspire you, to edify you, to correct you, to uplift you, and to teach you the ways of God so that you can be everything that God created you to be. The Bible says in Genesis that God created all human beings in His image and likeness. And so if you are created in the image and likeness of God, you can't go anywhere else to know about you, to learn about you, and to understand your makeup in order for you to be your best version. You have to go to the Word of God, because the Word of God describes and helps you become everything that you are. Because when you read the Word of God, you read about God and you read about who you are in Him. And so we get the privilege every week on Yellow on Air to bring to you scripture to help you know and become who you are in Christ Jesus. And we just want to again say thank you to Rob and Helen Rowe, the founders and the owners of Gospel for Grampian Radio, who sponsors this weekly show. Thank you so much, Rob and Helen Rowe. So to our youth today, I encourage you to sit back and listen, get your notebook as we encourage you with our episode 22 called Mind Your Language. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen this little warning sign when you go into a building where there's a step. And if you don't know that you're coming up towards that step, there's a possibility that you could trip. And so they put that sign up, mind your step, meaning there's a step coming up, be aware of it so that you don't trip. And so really, this is what I'm talking about today when I say mind your language. What I'm saying to you is that you got to think about what you're going to say before you say it. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So I'm saying to you today, after our show today, I'm hoping that you are going to be able to mind your language, meaning be quick to listen to what you have to say before you speak it out. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you have the power through what you speak to either create or to destroy. Because the Word of God says death and life is in the power of your words. Whatever you speak can either call forth destruction or call forth life and blessings. So before you speak a word, you got to mind your language. Think about what you're going to speak. Think about how you're going to speak. Think about, is what you're going to speak going to glorify God and bring respect and honor to you? Or is it going to dishonor God, because what you are is a indication of who God is in you? We are an outward expression of who God is. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and He was sent from heaven to reveal Jesus Christ to us. And so in that revelation, we become an outward expression of God. So as a Christian, the entire unbelieving world is looking at us, waiting to judge us and condemn us if we do anything out of line. Notice there's many other religions out there, youth. But why do you think they always come against the Christian religion? Because the Christian religion is the religion of the highest level of morality. Because we believe in a living God who has excellent standards. The Word of God says God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Everything about God is holy, good, righteous, and excellent. And so when the Spirit of God was sent by God to us, He was sent to lead us and guide us into all truth and righteousness. Truth meaning the Word of God, how to live in the kingdom of God, how to live in the ways of God, how to be one with Jesus Christ. Remember, youth, when you became born again, your spirit man became as righteous as Christ is. That means when Jesus died on the cross and he was resurrected on the third day, everyone who believes in the resurrected Christ has now received the life of Christ in them. That means your spirit is as righteous as Christ is. However, your mind, your will, your emotions, which is your soul, and your heart needs to conform to that righteousness. Because when you became born again, notice you still thought and spoke and behaved like how you were before you were born again. So that requires for you to now take the word of God and develop a relationship with the living God in order for you to conform to that new way of life. So your spirit and your heart has to go through a sanctification process to align yourself to that righteousness that you are in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray, when you read the word of God, when you praise, when you worship, you begin to know God, find out about God, and know who you are in God. And when you begin to have that love relationship and read the word of God, then your mind gets renewed about who God is and who he says you are. Your heart then begins to believe that, and then you end up flushing out all the old way of living, the ways of the world. You begin to flush all of that out, and you now let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that has been sent by God to teach you how to walk in the truth and righteousness, to lead your mind, will, and emotions, and your heart and your body to conform to that righteousness. And then you now begin to live a sanctified lifestyle where it's called you consecrated, meaning you're now that chosen generation. You're now that holy priesthood. You are that royal priesthood, that holy nation, that chosen generation that God has chosen you to be. You walk in that priesthood. You walk in that royal family. You walk as a child of God. You behave like the child of God. Why? Because now you allow the word of God to change the way you think, the way you speak, etc. Now, why do I tell you that you need to transform your mind, will, and emotions, and heart and body by reading the word of God and praying and fellowshipping with God? I say that to you because the word of God says in 2 Timothy, but know this, youth, that in the last days, and youth, we are living in those last days. In the last days, perilous times will come. And for people will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. So here we listen to the scripture, youth, and we read here that God is saying that we are living in the perilous times and that people are becoming wicked and that people will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny its power because sin is so prevalent in their lives that they can't even experience the goodness of God, because even though their spirit is righteous, their soul and their mind and their will and their emotions and their body has not been conformed to the ways of God. It is being conformed to the darkness of this world. As the darkness gets darker in the world, they get darker in that darkness because they are not allowing the word of God to conform them. And so God says, from such people turn away. So what I'm saying to you, youth, before you now listen to the scripture and listen to this message and start going out there and seeing who's like that, you know, I want to turn away from those people. First, look at yourself, because the Bible says that before we take out the plank in other people's lives, we must take out, before we take out the speck in other people's eyes, look at the plank in our own lives. So I'm not speaking to you today to first now go and turn away from other people that are not good company, because the Bible says that bad company corrupts good. Look at your own self and see, are you bad company? Are you somebody that is living a life that you know that the Holy Spirit, who is the presence of God in you, is comfortable with the way you're living? I mean, if you had to go into a physical temple today, and if you had to see anything wicked in that temple, would you revisit that temple in the future? No. how the temple structure and standards and conduct is has an is important, and it plays a pivotal role of whether you will go back there. Because when you think about a temple, you think about a place that is sanctified, a place that is consecrated, a place where God is, a place that is full of peace, a place where it's holy, a place where there's righteousness, right? If you think of a temple, you think of that. And so when you see that kind of standard there, then you want to go visit the temple, because you know that good is in that temple, that that temple is a holy place, that you know if you're going there for holiness and sanctification, you're going to get it, because that temple lives up to the reputation of what a temple should look like. And so when I'm talking about the temple, I'm talking about your body. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the living God, meaning the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And you know that the Spirit of the Lord lives in you. If He shines the Word of God into your heart and into your life today, are you happy with the way your temple looks? When people look at you, will they want to listen to Jesus, you talking about Jesus? Or will they just say, no, I cannot listen to you talking about Jesus, because what comes out of your mouth is profane. How you live your life is unholy. There's nothing about you that will draw me to your religion. And so before you turn away from other people that fall in the category of 2 Timothy 3 in terms of disobedient to parents, blasphemers, unholy, unthankful, brutal, etc., I want you today to search your own heart, youth, and see, is your life a living sacrifice where when people look at you, they can say, wow, they want to know the God that you serve, because how you live, how you speak, how you act is an expression of the God that you believe in. That's what it's all about. And so today, as we start with mind your language, I want to just highlight some statistics that are written by Yannick Linder. Yannick Linder works for Gitnox.org. It is a global commerce company, media company, that does statistical research. It is a statistical research platform that does reports for publication companies. And example, they do statistical reports for newspapers like BBC, Business Insider, Dropbox, Yahoo, HubSpot, Daily Mail, The Guardian, Psychology Today, Eventbrite, and Investopedia. And so Gitnox's Yannick Linder wrote an article about profanity, about he calls it, youth statistics are saying that your age is the age where vulgarity has become a growing language. And so because we're talking about mind your language, think about what you're going to say before you say it. I want to tell you why you need to start adopting this approach. It's because vulgarity is becoming a prevalent language standard across the globe. And according to Yannick, this is what the statistic says, that a significant 86% of parents cite their teenage children as occasional users of profanity, and it offers an insightful anchor into the pervasive nature of swearing in today's youth. It implies a rampant, commonplace phenomena, transforming the previously grayscale picture of teenage language, using it into a strikingly vivid image. This information threads a crucial narrative throughout the blog post on profanity statistics, helping to shape perceptions and set the stage for further discussion on social norms, communications, evolution, and possible implications on societal interactions among the younger population. Parents' use of profanity increases the likelihood of their children using profanity. In the echo chamber of profanity, the tuning fork starts with the parents, according to an enlightening statistic. The data indicates a rising trend where offspring seem to mirror their progenitors in the use of coloring language. As we navigate through the maze of expletives in our daily dialect, noticing the influence and connection between a parent's linguistics and their child's vocabulary becomes essential. Unarguably, the statistic offers a look into the profound influence parents can have, potentially triggering a domino effect on their child's language habits, creating a societal ripple effect reflected in profanity statistics blog post. So parents, you have such an important role to play in how your children speak. I think about myself, Gospel for Grampian Youth. I grew up in a very volatile home where vulgarity was how it was in our home because it was abusive. We had our parents speak vulgar language. And because of the violence that was happening, catapulted by the violence and alcoholism, that profane language was there. So even though my parents had put boundaries in terms of what we allow to watch on TV and what we allow to listen to so that we don't listen to profane music and movies that had profane language, but because of the strife in the home, we were exposed to profane language. And I think about myself that becoming a young adult, and even in my mid-30s, when I was pressed and challenged emotionally, it would trigger me to bring out ugly words. And yet I hated those words. I remembered growing up and how it bothered me when there was violence and hurt and anger and strife at home. And, you know, those words would come out. I would feel intimidated by those words. But little did I know that those very words settled in my heart. And that when I was a young adult, and an adult in my 30s, those words came out. In my 40s, those words came out until I got to a point where I had to humble myself and say, Lord, I can't do this. I remember there was this one day where my teenage son said to me, Mom, since when do you swear? Because you never do that. I was so broken and so hurt and so offended. I ended up actually becoming just like my parents, where when they had strife, they begin to swear. I now did that until the Lord reprimanded me, dear youth, and the Lord said to me, no, that is not the language of heaven. That is not the language of the kingdom of God. That is not the language of goodness. That is not the language of love. Vulgarity and profanity is not the language of love. It is foul language. It is from the devil. And so as the Lord healed me from my childhood hurts of strife and division and discord, with that, he broke that stronghold of vulgarity over my life. So dear youth today, if you are going through strongholds of bad language, of profanity, because you have been exposed to it by the environments that you're in, I encourage you today, you can be delivered from profane language by just asking the Lord to forgive you for allowing those languages to settle in your heart. Because the Word of God says that what we meditate on begins to settle into our hearts as a seed, and then it takes root and it becomes a plant. So I was exposed to a profane environment. So what happened? Even if I didn't want to meditate on it because I was offended and rebellious, rebellion opened the door for all those profane languages to settle in my heart. Offense opened those doors for all those bad languages to settle in my heart. I didn't ask for that bad language to go into my heart, but because I was offended by the strife in our home, I was rebellious because of the strife in my home, I opened the door so that all of those profane things that was I was exposed to just naturally settled in my heart because I'd opened a door of rebellion. And then little did I know that later on in life, that when I would face strife and division, I would react the same way my parents did. Why? That perpetual cycle happened because I did not seek God's way of dealing with rebellion and dealing with offense. That when I got to a point of experiencing strife, if you pressed me, all those bitter roots of vulgarity was actually implanted in my heart. And therefore, it was easy for me to speak vulgar when you pressed my buttons. And then I got to a point when my son said to me, Mom, since when do you swear? And it highly broke me down because I knew that it was not what I did. And I shouldn't have done that. And I realized, dear youth, it was a root that was ingrained in me from a young girl. And I asked the Lord to deliver me from that, and God delivered me. And so I search my heart regularly. I block my ears from anything that has vulgarity. I don't listen to vulgar music. I don't listen to movies that have got vulgar language. I even don't like the word SHIT. It is vulgar. It is profane as far as I'm concerned. So I ensure that I keep what I listen to pure and clean so that my heart stays clean. And I'm telling you this today, my dear youth, that if you are living in an environment and atmosphere that you have that exposure to, ask the Lord for deliverance and presented to those environments that, hey, listen here, it is unhealthy and you don't want to be exposed to it, so they must please stop doing it. And I believe that, you know, parents are teachable. If you tell them that, like my son told me, Mom, since when do you do that? And I had to knew that I needed to. If a child is telling a parent that's not good what you're doing because you're telling them it's not good to swear, then I believe that parents are teachable and they will listen. So youth, you're listening today and you've been exposed to that with your parents, speak to them. Tell them how you feel and tell them that how they live has an impact to how you are going to behave, right? Carrying on the statistics, Gutnox says that TV programs classified as comedy have the most frequent use of profanity per hour. Understanding the pervasiveness of profanity within the realm of television can provide valuable insights. Specifically, the statistics illustrating that comedy television programs holds the record for the most frequent use of profanity per hour, underscoring an intriguing trend. When passing profanity statistics, this finding implies a significant correlation between humor and explicit language, indicating that authors might employ swearing as a comedic device. Moreover, it invites discussions on societal acceptance of these words, the shifting boundary lines of what constitutes offensive, and the potential influence of such language on viewers, particularly younger demographics, youth. Hey, this kind of data interpretation paves the way for stimulating and multi-layered discourse on the prevalence and effect of profanity in our media-consuming society. So, dear youth, you have been exposed to so much of information and technology that you are bombarded with information and entertainment from every side. And if you don't guard, if you don't mind your language, if you don't guard what you hear, what you listen to, what you watch, what you entertain, then you are going to be consumed by these different bad entertainments. And then suddenly it's going to become a way of your life. Like I've said to you, I grew up in that environment. I didn't have a choice to run away from that environment. And because I grew up in that environment, it naturally settled into my heart because I had offense in me and I had rebellion in me. So I'm saying to you, youth today, you can set boundaries on what you allow to listen to. For example, what you watch, what music you listen to, shows you listen to, who you entertain to speak into your life. You need to set boundaries so that you don't allow profanity to enter into your life because it is bad. It is a curse. It is foul. It is disgusting. There is nothing respectable about foul language. And as we go further on, I'm going to talk about the two gentlemen that were on the cross beside Jesus and how one spoke profanity and how his profanity language landed him in hell. And they are both criminals. Both criminals were on the cross with Jesus. The one humbled himself and the other one blasphemed God and as a result ended up in hell. So profanity is a dangerous way in terms of opening up a portal for you to be drawn by the wicked one of this world. So I want to encourage you today to please meditate on what I'm saying and why I'm saying this. The word of God says that the end times, many will become lovers of themselves. And scripture also tells us that we are living in a lawless environment. Why I'm telling you lawless? CNN, a well-known news network, wrote an article on 1st June 2023 by Sandy Lamotte. And she says in this article, she goes against the word of God. And she says this, why swearing is a sign of intelligent and it helps manage pain and more. Now, in this time where the world has become so dark that everything evil is now suddenly being accepted as good, just like this article where they are saying, why swearing is a sign of intelligence and helps manage pain and more. I just said to you now, a man that blasphemed in the presence of Jesus on the cross ended up going to hell. And the word of God, where I'm going to give you a lot of scripture that speaks about blasphemy and bad language and profanity and how we should not do it, is to tell you that if you don't guard your heart and your mind and make sure that you have the word of God in you, then these kind of articles, you are going to believe that it's okay to swear. It's okay to be profane. And you are going to go in the way of the world. And the world's way is the dark world. And it's going to cause you to lose your faith and walk away and backslide if you allow the darkness to consume you. Because this article is just so disappointing. And it is so sad to see that we are living in an era where everything that the Bible says you should not do, that now articles on big news networks are publicizing that it's okay to do. So Sandy Lamott says, cursing may be a sign of intelligence. Can you believe that? Cursing may be a sign of intelligence. She says here, well-educated people with plenty of words at their disposal. A study in 2015 found we're better at coming up with curse words than those who were less verbally fluent. So what? Because you can get better curse words, that makes you intelligent? Really? She says participants were asked to list as many words that start with F-A-S or in 1 minute. And another minute was devoted to coming up with curse words that start with those three letters. And she said the study found that those who came up with the most F-A-S words had produced the most swear words. She thinks that's intelligence. She says that the ones who produced the most swear words, that's a sign of intelligence to the degree that language is correlated with intelligence, said Jay, who authorized the study. People that are good at language are good at generating a swearing vocabulary. Oh my gosh, can you see how the devil has twisted intelligence and matched intelligence with foul language? She says, Jay, the person that did the study, said, swearing can also be associated with social intelligence. Having the strategies to know where and when it's appropriate to swear and when it's not, Jay said, is a social cognitive skill like picking the right clothes for the right occasion. That's a pretty sophisticated social tool. My gosh, I'm absolutely, absolutely disturbed by what big news articles are speaking in terms of what is allowed out there. Then there's another series of studies published in 2017 that says swearing may be a sign of honesty. Science has also found a positive link between profanity and honesty. People who cursed lied less on an interpersonal level and had higher levels of integrity overall. When you're honestly expressing your emotions with powerful words, then you're going to come across as more honest, said Jay, who was not involved in these studies. While a higher rate of profanity used was associated with more honesty, the study authors cautioned that the findings should not be interpreted to mean that the person who uses more profanity, the less likely he or she would engage in one or more serious unethical or immoral behaviors. Profanity improves pain tolerance. I cannot believe this. And swearing doesn't just help your endurance. If you pinch your finger on the car door, you may well less feel it less painful if you use the bad word instead of shoot. I'm not even going to tell the bad word. I'm not going to tell the word, bad word, or spell the bad word. Instead of saying shoot, if you say that bad word, apparently you feel less pain tolerance. That is just a lie from the devil. People on bikes who swore while pedaling against resistance had more power and strength than people who used neutral words, studies have shown. Research have found that people who cursed while squeezing a hand vice were able to squeeze harder and long. So yeah, this scripture is saying that this article is saying that people who curse are more stronger and have more tolerance in terms of endurance. This is sick when you can see what these articles are saying. Spouting obscenities doesn't help your endurance. If you pinch your finger on the car door, you may feel less painfully if you say the shoot word as in the bad word. Another study found people who cursed as they plunged their hand into icy water felt less pain and were able to keep their hands in the water longer than those who said neutral words. It means if you said polite words, you can't keep your hands longer. But if you swore and you cursed, then you apparently have the tolerance to keep your hand longer in icy water. I think that is just a lie from the pit of hell. It's a mind over matter. The headline's message is that swearing helps you cope with pain, said psychologist Richard Stevens, the lead author of the three studies Stevens researched swearing that psychology or psychobiology. He's a researcher at the laboratory at Keele University in Staffordshire, England. And Stevens says it works like this. Swearing produces a stress response that initiates the body's ancient defensive reflex. A flush of adrenaline increases heart rate and breathing prepping muscles for flight or flight. Simultaneously, there's another psychological reaction called an analgesic response, which makes the body more impervious to pain. That would make evolutionary sense because you're going to be a better fighter and a better runner if you've not been slowed down by concerns about pain, Stephen said. So it seems like by swearing, you're triggering an emotional response in yourself, which triggers a mild stress response, which carries with it stress-induced reduction in pain. Careful, however, the next time you decide to extend your workout by swearing, curse words lose their power over pain when they are used too much, research has discovered. So now, I don't even want to go further into this, but let's go to another section here. It says, cursing is a sign of creativity. My gosh, they say cursing is a sign of intelligence. Cursing is a sign of pain tolerance. Now they're saying cursing is a sign of creativity. Swearing appears to be centered in the right side of the brain, the part people often call the creative brain. He says, we do know patients who have strokes on the right side tend to become less emotional, less able to understand and tell jokes. And they tend to just stop swearing, even if they swore quite a lot. Research on swearing dates back to Victorian times when physicians discovered that patients who lost the ability to speak could still curse. They swore incredibly fluently, Brand said. Childhood reprimands, swear words, and terms of endearment, words with strong emotional content learned early on, tend to be persevered in the brain even when all the rest of your language is lost. And then he says, throwing expletives instead of punches. Why do you choose to swear? He says, perhaps because profanity provides an evolutionary advantage that can protect you from physical harm. A dog or a cat will scratch you, bite you when you're scared or angry, he said. But swearing allows you to express your emotions symbolically without doing it tooth and nail. In other words, he says, you can give somebody the finger or say bad word across the street. And he says, you don't have to get up to their face. Cursing becomes a remote form of aggression, and Jay said, offering the chance to express feelings quickly while hopefully avoiding repercussions. He says the purpose of swearing is to vent your emotion, and there's an advantage in it that allows you to cope, he said. So he says cursing is a coping mechanism. Now he goes to the universal language. He says, what makes the use of naughty words so powerful? Now they say naughty words are powerful. Can you see how perversion has been made attractive? That is why youth, I cannot emphasize how important it is for you to get back on the Word of God. Get back to the basics. The Word of God is your basic instructions for life. If you don't get back on the Word of God, then these nonsense articles that are coming out there are going to attract you, because if you are looking for pain tolerance, if you are looking for intelligence, if you are looking for creativity, you're going to believe the lie of the devil that swearing is going to give you endurance and give you creativity, but it is a lie from the devil. You can see how the devil has perverted good just to attract you to be creative and intelligent. No, you are intelligent beings designed by God. You find your design in the Word of God and who God says you are, not in nonsense that the devil is using people and statistics and science to lie that if you swear, you are creative, you are intelligent, and you are pain tolerant. That is a lie. You know, I want to go back to what happened on that cross. When Jesus was on that cross, there were two people beside him. They were both criminals. And they both had the opportunity to speak to Jesus. And when they both spoke to Jesus, one got saved and the other got lost. And one of the criminals who hanged blasphemed God. They blasphemed. One of the criminals that hung on the cross blasphemed Jesus. And this is what he said: "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we have received the reward of our deeds." What this gentleman is saying to the other guy that blasphemed Jesus on the cross: we both are criminals. We deserve to be here. But Jesus doesn't deserve to be here. He's innocent. So that is what the guy on the right-hand side was telling the criminal on the left-hand side. We are both guilty, but he's innocent. And how can you blaspheme him? How can you condemn him? Then the guy on the right said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now get this. There were two people there on that cross, two criminals. One recognized Jesus was the king from an eternal kingdom and asked Jesus to remember him when Jesus returned to his eternity. That man had a humble heart. The other man had a blasphemous heart. He had a heart that cursed God, that blasphemed God. And what did he say? "If you are God, save yourself and save me. Save us." So this one that blasphemed was selfish, and he didn't have respect for the King of Kings. He had a prideful heart and he was lost, because Jesus said to the guy on the right, "You will meet me in paradise." But the one on the left, he didn't. Now let's look at what the word blaspheme means, because the guy that was on the left blasphemed Jesus. This is what blaspheme means: to slander, to speak lightly or profanely of sacred things, speaking evil against, using abusive or scurrilous language about God or men. Scurrilous is defined as indecent or abusive language, coarse, vulgar, foul mouth, containing coarse vulgarism, indecent abuse, dishonoring, hurling abuse, maligned language, spoken against, properly refusing to acknowledge good. Blaspheme reverses moral values. Dear youth, here you have a CNN article writer and statistics promoting that bad language, blasphemous language, scurrilous language makes you creative, makes you intelligent, and makes you have pain tolerance. And here the scripture is saying that those languages is not intelligent. It doesn't give you respect for God and people. It is disrespectful. It is dishonorable. It is malign. It is deadly. It is wicked. It is abusive. So nothing abusive can be creative. Nothing deadly and malign can be healthy for you. Don't let the world's system and education corrupt you. You need, dear youth, to have the word of God to support and back you up. What does scripture say about vulgar language? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Look what happened. He says here, "Speak good that it may impart grace to the hearers." Two men on the cross, one blasphemed God, and it did not impart good to Jesus' ears. But the other one spoke respect and honor for Jesus, and he met Jesus in paradise. So the world system is lying to you and deceiving you that speaking bad language, that being profane, is healthy for you, intelligent for you, creative for you. But scripture here is saying it is not good for you. It is not good for you. And it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I mean, this scripture, Ephesians 4:29, says it all, dear youth. the Spirit of God, God's presence lives in you. A holy God lives in you. When you swear, it grieves him. It grieves him because it is a blasphemous language. It is a malign language. It is a disrespectful, dishonoring language. You are the temple of the living God, youth. The presence of the Lord is there. When you go into a physical temple, you see they have respect. They mind their language. They mind their conduct. Why then in our bodies do we want to entertain bad language when we are the temple and the holy presence of God resides with us? Ephesians 2:29 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Profane language is not permitted as a child of God. I told you, God, it grieved the Spirit of God when I did it, that God embarrassed me, or not God embarrassed me, God, it had to take my child to embarrass me in order for me to realize I was not a godly example. Because I had childhood issues and I never dealt with it, and that brought about bad language. And I was highly embarrassed when my son brought up, "Mom, how can you speak like that? Since when do you speak like that?" And I had to make a conscious decision not to do it again. And then I realized that if my child felt offended by me speaking that language, how much so the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me? Getting angry because someone is breaking you down doesn't give you the license to speak malign language. You know, I'm at the point where if I just hear a word like S-H-I-T, my spirit gets grieved and I need to run away from that environment or from people who speak that word. I can't listen to any music or language people speaking or movies anymore that have foul language, because I literally feel the sensitivity of my spirit, man. That's how it is. I feel the grieving in my spirit, man, and I got to run from that place. And that is the place when you get the Word of God ingrained in you and you acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit, you become sensitive of what you allow yourself to hear, dear listeners, dear youth. Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So when you're speaking bad language, it's because it's in your heart. And you have to allow the Word of God to clean you up and praise and worship and the Spirit of God to show you the state of your heart in order for you to get rid of that bad language. David says this so beautifully, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So when you know the state of your heart, you become sensitive to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and you begin to plead mercy to God to help you conform to the vocabulary of God's Word, to the vocabulary of heaven, and not the vocabulary of this world that has become so perverted. Proverbs 4:24 says, "Keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips." So here you have it, Gospel for Grampian. The creator of the universe, who created you like him, says, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. God, who is all-knowing, God, who is all-powerful, is telling you that you cannot swear and you must not speak corrupt words. Yet the world system, who is not all-knowing and is not all-powerful, is telling you that speaking perversely is going to make you creative and intelligent. That alone can tell you that this world has become so dark that what God says you must not do, they go straight out and say that it's intelligent for you to do it, because you're going to be intelligent when you speak bad words. You're going to be creative when you speak perverse words. And yet the one who created you, who is all intelligent, nobody can compete with the omniscience of God, who is all powerful, no one can compete with the omnipotence of God, Creator himself, Elohim, is telling us, keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips. That same all power and all knowing is in us. Why on earth would we want to swear to be intelligent? And why would we want to swear to be creative? Why would we want to swear to have pain endurance when the word of God says the joy of the Lord is our strength? And the word of God says that we created in his image so that his intelligence is our intelligence. His all-knowing is our nature. His all-powerful is all our nature. So don't allow the devil and the systems and the publications and the renowned news networks out there and their articles to come and deceive you to think that you have to do perverted things in order to be creative and intelligent and enduring pain. Because the word of God says that God, you in God, makes you strong, powerful, intelligent. The Bible says it is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say the speaking profanity. Fearing God, God is a loving daddy. He's never going to let you swear. So fearing God, as in revering him, makes you intelligent and wise. Why on earth would you want to swear when it's actually not allowed? It's forbidden. Proverbs 4:24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. If you entertaining bad language is because you are not sensitive to the presence of the Lord in your heart, that means your conscience is seared. And you need to ask the Lord to break down that hard heart so that you can be sensitive. Because when you're sensitive to the presence of the Lord, you will never entertain those bad words. I had to get sensitive to the presence of the Lord in order for me to realize that I will not do that word, speak that word, listen to those words, hear those words, or entertain those words. I've been there when my conscience was seared because I was bitter and angry and broken. But when I asked the Lord to deliver me, my heart became sensitive where what God hated, I now hate. What God loves, I now love. And I just realized the more I love God, the more intelligent I am. The more I know God, the more I realize how smart I am. The more I know God, the more stronger I am. The more I know God, the more creative I see I am. So why on earth would you want to go a perverted way to be intelligent, to be strong, and to be creative and to endure? Don't believe the report of the devil, dear youth. Don't believe all those networks out there that make evil look good. You have to get back to the Bible, your basic instructions for life. Because if you don't do that, then you are going to think perversity is the way to go in order for you to be intelligent, creative, and strong and healthy. And that is going to make your conscience seared, where you're going to be like the people that 2 Timothy 3 speaks about. Hey, the article that we spoke about, the scripture that we spoke about now in 2 Timothy 3, he says there, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, unloving, slanderers, hey, loving pleasures rather than loving God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That's what happens when you begin to start now neglecting the word of God, dear youth, and allowing all those desensitized things out there to consume you. You're going to end up having a form of godliness, but having no power. James 3:7 says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So youth today, you cannot listen to that CNN article and go in the way of cursing, because what does that article say? Cursing makes you good, it makes you creative, it makes you intelligent, and it makes you endure strength. And here the word of God is saying, no, we are not a cursed nation. The minute you became born again, gospel for Grampian youth, you have become a blessed people. You're a blessed youth. The devil and his demons and his followers are cursed. When you are born again and you believe that cursing through your lips and perverse language is good, that means you're following the pattern of the devil, because our nature is blessing, not cursing. So it says here in James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. David speaks in Psalms 34:11, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. God's word is a doing word, youth. When you study God's word, you have to do it. It's in the doing that you conform to that righteousness that your spirit man is. Your soul and your body and your heart needs to renew it yourself to that righteousness. So everything that the word of God says is a doing word. So you got to turn away from evil and do good. You have to seek peace and pursue it. You have to read the word of God and fill yourself with things that are good, noble, and acceptable. The word of God says, think on these things that are good, that are pleasing, that are acceptable, that are above. God tells us to think on good things, pure things, holy things. So you have a part to do in order for you to not curse. Because the scripture is saying here that people are living a double life, where they are born again, but they're living like the world, where they're cursing. They praise God on a Sunday in church, but they're cursing every other day, because they're believing the report of the devil that cursing is good for you, or cursing makes you cool, or cursing is a popular language. But we read in the word of God, it is not popular, it is not cool. And the one that blasphemed God on the cross ended up going to hell. So cursing is not a good thing. I love this article this is a blog called Quora. And they had this question: in movies, why do they only blaspheme using Jesus and God's name, but not any other religion? And so the people that had the conversation were responding, and some person said this: most people in the Illuminati-controlled movie industry are possessed and dominated by demons. They include actors, directors, producers, and scriptwriters. Satan and his demons hate God and Jesus and will blaspheme them. Satan and his demons know that all other gods and religions are false cults to deceive many people. In the eyes of Satan and his demons, blaspheming fictitious gods and religions is a useless waste of time. That is why Satan and his demons know that there is only one true God and true religion, and that is the God of the Christian Bible and the religion of the born-again Christian. So Satan and his demons falsely believe that it is worthwhile to mock and blaspheme God and Jesus. And as we see, quite true, that no other religion is blasphemed in entertainment or in conversations. But you hear the name of Jesus Christ being used as a swear word, as a cursing word, as a frustrating word. When someone is aggressive or frustrated, they use Jesus Christ's name in vain. And so exactly what this person commentated there, it's useless for the devil to use any other religion because he knows it's false. So bringing a false use in religion and blaspheming it is not going to serve any purpose to pollute them, because they pollute it anyway and they're unbelieving anyway, so it doesn't change their status. But by blaspheming Jesus Christ, he's now making it a language and a popularity that even Christians and are speaking the slang of blaspheming Christ in their conversations. I mean, I think about it, our dear youth. I was on a plane trip the one day, and this gentleman was talking so loud that I could hear him, you know, while I was sitting in my seat. And he kept on blaspheming the name of Jesus, just like how the movies blaspheme Jesus's name in the movie. And it was like, he sounded like it was cool, the way he was, you know, blaspheming the name of Jesus. And every time he said it, my heart gripped, my spirit man grieved. I was so upset for him just using the name of Jesus without any reverential respect. And as the plane had landed and we were getting off, I just said, I need to go talk to him. So I asked him, I said to him, Are you a Christian? He said, yes, I'm a Christian and I love God. I said, well, whoa, you don't behave like you love God because you are talking like a powerless Christian. Because you are blaspheming the name of Jesus instead of reverentially respecting him as a holy God, a holy name. I mean, how come nobody goes and blasphemes a president? Did you ever think about it, youth? If you were in the company of a president, would you use the name of the president in a dishonorable way? And you in his space? No, you'd never. The Holy Spirit is in this gentleman, and this gentleman is saying he loves Jesus, but in the presence of the Holy Spirit, while he's communicating with the natural people in the airplane, what is he doing? He's blaspheming the name of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's as good as him saying, I'm in the presence of a president that I really like, and I'm blaspheming and dishonoring the president. That's what you do. No reverential respect for the presence of the Lord. And so Jude 1:18 says, in the last time, there will be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. So when you see movies and people are blaspheming the name of Jesus in movies, they are scoffing because of their ungodly desires. Margaret Thomas says this, why do writers of movies use God's name in vain when our country is made up of 78% of Christians and it is offensive and against one of our 10 commandments? And then she writes and she says, because they are here to tempt us. The interesting story and the funny situations and heart-rending tragedies, and we pay for that entertainment by betraying God. It's an idol, the worst and most dangerous one in our society, I think. She says, have you ever laughed at a joke that included the Lord's name being taken in vain? She said she had, and she had to repent so much. By doing so, you participate in blasphemy when you entertain movies that use the name of God in vain. When you entertain movies that have got blaspheme and profane language, you are entertaining blasphemy. If you have the reverential respect and fear of the Lord, you will not watch any movies or listen to any conversations where there's blaspheme language, where there's profane language, because when you're listening to that, you do not revere the Spirit of God that is in you, because the holy presence of the Lord is in you. What you listen to, he's listening to. So it grieves him that you allow profanity to be in your space. She says here, I read somewhere that movie making is a popular way to launder money, and studios don't really care if people like or watch their movies because they already made their money before it's released. And she says that they use immorality and sin as a social engineering way to attract people, because people seem to like sin, and they like bad language. So they use sin nature in movies to attract people. And she says that it's very sad that Christians watch those movies insensitive that they have the presence of the Lord in them, and they go and entertain these kind of movies. And then she says that they don't watch TV, and everything they watch is screened for suitability. And she has 6 wonderful kids and God, and she does homeschooling, and she doesn't entertain any mainstream TVs that are going to be dangerous for her family. And she says that entertainment is her biggest struggle, because every time she defeats her urges to watch stuff people are raving about, she loses the hold of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, she has to go back and she has to go and repent and say, Lord, please help me. I want to go back to Matthew 24:12. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I leave you with this today, Ephesians 5:4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you, just as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So here we're seeing that Paul is saying, it is not fitting for us to have foolish conversations and coarse jesting. So Gospel for Grampian Youth, as we end today, I want to encourage you, mind your language. The presence of the Lord lives with you. Mind your language. Think what you're going to speak before you speak it. I love you. Bye-bye.